Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Again, thank you so much for joining us. It is the second day of August 2004. On this Monday edition, hour number two, your calls and a ton of news with Ridge's latest terror alerts, supposedly specific. Just a ton of news concerning Iraq and also this report of them wanting to psychologically test every American, forcibly, by the way, and then they're recommending that 15% of us be drugged with antipsychotics out of hand. You've just stepped right into the brave new world. But we're joined by Norman Siegel. I saw this story in the New York Post and the Associated Press as well. It says, officer on trial for refusing to arrest homeless man. The police department put an officer on trial Wednesday for refusing to arrest a homeless man who was sleeping in a parking garage. And the police officer, 39, could be kicked off the force if an administrative judge finds him guilty of failing to obey a lawful order. And the police say an order is an order. You must follow all orders, whether you like it or not. I thought we heard that in Nazi Germany. No, you've got to follow your oath of office to serve and protect and defend and be a public servant. But we're joined by Norman Siegel, high-powered attorney. And Norman, good to have you on.
Good afternoon, Alex. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
You bet. We're going to break here in just a few minutes and come back in a longer segment, but just give us the basics of where this happened, how this happened, what's going on, and the public's response and what you're doing to counter this.
The police department in New York City charged Officer Eduardo De La Cruz with a single act of refusing to comply with a lawful order, that being refusing to arrest a homeless man who was sleeping in a private parking garage located on 15th Street near Union Square in Manhattan. And we had thought that we had worked out an agreement that the 30-day suspension without pay that he received back in November of 2002 when this incident occurred was adequate punishment for this matter. However, recently the police department said, no, we want to take him to trial, which means that there's a possibility that he will be terminated. He's a 10-year veteran. He has five children, a wife. He has an unblemished record, and we are vigorously defending him by alleging, one, that the facts around that incident in question are not that clear, that the sergeant was the one who handcuffed the homeless person. It's the sergeant who then says to him, he's yours, as opposed to, I'm giving you a direct order. The sergeant says different, but that's a question of fact. But even assuming there was a direct order, we argue that they singled out De La Cruz. They manufactured this arrest. They went to great lengths to set him up, to confront him with this situation. And even assuming that they could do all of the above, enough, 30 days is adequate punishment. We have precedent here where police officers beat people up, engage in racial epithets. They don't get terminated, and the 30 days is more than adequate punishment.
Well, I mean, we got police going in the wrong house and blowing some old man in half, and then they get a 30-day suspension, and then the grand jury no bills the indictment, and they're back on the force. But this is a good police officer who showed some basic restraint, something we need a little bit more of, and they're trying to get him fired. I mean, this is outrageous.
Well, I think that's correct, and people in New York have been very supportive. People first in the religious community have been outspoken. We could use more, but what we have is appreciated. Homeless advocates groups, as well as former homeless people, have been outspoken on this. When we began the trial last Wednesday, there probably were about two dozen homeless advocates and former homeless people in the courtroom.
We got a break, sir. Stay there. We'll be right back with Norman Siegel. He's the lawyer for Mr. De La Cruz, a good police officer under attack. Stay with us.
Are you concerned about the quality of air and purity of water in your household? If you answered yes, then you owe it to yourself and your family to check out the amazing benefits of owning your own personal ozone generator. With an ozone generator, you can kill bacteria and viruses in your drinking water. Get rid of that stale air in your house that keeps recirculating. Your new ozone generator will remove odors and provide a clean, fresh scent throughout your house. Call Cliff Scott Enterprises for one of the most affordable ozone generators available today. That number is 800-569-4340. The ozone generator is portable, has an internal blower for ozone disbursement into the air, and comes with a tube attachment for ozonating liquids. Best of all, it's affordable. It's only $385, and that includes the shipping. So call Cliff Scott Enterprises at 800-569-4340 for your personal ozone generator, or visit on the web at cliffscott.com.
Skyrocketing oil prices, the economy on the brink, the plunging dollar, terrorism, the government spending $1.80 for every dollar it collects. Never in the history of our country have we faced so many threats to our freedoms, rights, and individual security. How long can we continue without a fracture occurring? With the events that recently rocked the elections in Spain, what will happen as we get closer to our own elections? Now is the time to begin preparing for such threats. Ready Reserve Foods has been helping businesses, government, and individuals for over 32 years. No matter what your preparation needs, Ready Reserve Foods offers virtually the finest in dehydrated, nitrogen-packed, long-term storable foods and has food units to fit your particular needs. Get a deluxe 3-month food supply for one adult, normally $4.98, for only $2.49 by calling Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202. Call now and save $2.49. That's 1-800-453-2202. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. What really happened September 11th, and who stands to gain? Alex Jones here, America. We answer these vital questions and much, much more in my newest and most explosive documentary yet, 911, The Road to Tyranny. In 2 hours and 24 minutes, we point a searing light of truth on the history of problem, reaction, solution. Brace yourselves as the New World Order program for world domination is blown wide open. A nightmarish post-September 11th world where the military and the police are merged. Witnesses, populations beg for national ID cards and, yes, even implantable microchips. Troops on the streets, foreign NATO aircraft in the skies. Psychotic UN population control plans and much, much more. This is one film you cannot afford to miss. Order 911, The Road to Tyranny today. Call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 1-888-253-3139. Or order online at InfoWars.com or InfoWars.net. You see, Big Brother's afraid of this documentary. Order today and spread the word. America's future depends on the truth getting out.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, my friends, we're talking to Norman Siegel. He's the New York attorney representing Officer De La Cruz. The police department put an officer on trial Wednesday for refusing to arrest a homeless man who was sleeping in a parking garage. Eduardo De La Cruz, 39, could be kicked off the force if an administrative judge finds him guilty of failing to obey a lawful order. The incident occurred in November 2002, shortly after the department adopted a zero-tolerance policy to violations by homeless people. An attorney for De La Cruz, Norman Siegel, who we have on the line, accused officials of punishing his client for following his conscience. De La Cruz saw the homeless as people and showed them dignity and respect, Siegel said. Police lawyer David Green argued that De La Cruz's personal beliefs are completely irrelevant and the case, quote, begins and ends with a refusal of an order. The officer told reporters outside court that he hoped to keep his badge. I'm a good police officer, he said. This is out of the Associated Press. I've read New York articles saying the guy's got an exemplary record. He's a good cop. You know, we've had former New York City detectives and others on this broadcast who back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, they would try to get him to take money, be part of the drug dealing, be part of the corruption. I'm not saying that's happening here, but if you refuse, they would kick you out. And this guy's a good cop. And folks, you know, they got these laws against homeless. Where are they supposed to sleep? Where are they supposed to go? I mean, certainly, you know, if the homeless person was belligerent or tried to fight the officers, then fine, arrest him, charge him, whatever. But just asleep or asleep on a bench or asleep in a garage, whatever, kick them out. But arrest them? I mean, what's the point? But the reason I think this article is important is that, you know, you've got to follow orders. That's what you got to do. That's your job. No, it's not. Following orders will not cut it. I mean, what about when they ordered the officers to use a toilet plunger on a man? Or what about when they order officers to go in a house without a warrant? Or what about when they order officers to do all of this? We need to support officers that do show restraint and that do not go around in this abusive manner. Now, I know it's kind of a national sport to hate the homeless and to make fun of them and to call them names. But, you know, homeless are people, too, and they run the gamut of folks that are really down their luck to drug addicts. But the point is, they deserve the same rights as everybody else. Now this police officer is under an attack, and his lawyer, Norman Siegel, joins us. Norman, you talked about him trying to set up Mr. De La Cruz, or there being some evidence to make you think that might be going on. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Sure. When this unit, which dealt with homeless people, changed its policy in October of 2002 because there were more homeless once again out on the streets. Previously, what they did is they would go over to a homeless person and ask them to go to the shelter. With the new policy came different practice. De La Cruz was prevented from saying to someone, if you don't go to the shelter, you're going to go to jail. In the instant that we're talking about, De La Cruz actually asked the guy if he wanted to go to shelter, and that if he didn't go to shelter, he'd go to jail. And the homeless guy said, all right, I'll go to the shelter. And then the sergeant, according to De La Cruz, said it's too late because the sergeant had already asked him whether he wanted to go to the shelter. Basically, they created an arrest quota. One homeless person, one arrest a week, and it was a homeless outreach unit, so they were going to be arresting homeless people. De La Cruz didn't have the statistics that they wanted, one a week, and because of that, they decided that he was reluctant to arrest homeless people for sleeping on the street, and as a result, they spent almost 2 days trying to set up the context where there would be a homeless person so that De La Cruz would then be put in a situation where we would have to make the arrest. For example, this arrest in question, De La Cruz was at one part of Manhattan, and the sergeant came and got him and said, follow me, and then took him to the location where the homeless person was. It wasn't as if he was on his natural tour of duty, and while he was walking the street or driving his car, he came across the homeless person. He was directed to go there, and that's why I say he was set up.
We're talking to Norman Siegel, the lawyer, New York lawyer for Mr. De La Cruz, this good officer.
Let me also ask the point about being a good police officer, and De La Cruz is exactly that. You should not judge a police officer's performance based on an arrest quota. It should be based on the overall performance, and it really does put some spotlight on why our police department's having quotas with regard to arrests.
Now, okay, well, Mr. Siegel, you're stealing my thunder. That's where I was going next, because you just mentioned that earlier.
I want to steal your thunder, Alex.
Absolutely, because this is important. New York police have even taken out ads, for those that don't know, obviously you know this, saying we're sorry for the abuse, we've been ordered to do it, we've been ordered to double our revenue. Pregnant women sit down on a bench too long because they're hot, they're arrested, or they sit on a step. Men who own their own business smoking cigarettes in front of it are arrested or fined. Just absolute abuse against the people, and even the police don't want to be part of this. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. I think that there are people who join the police department, like De La Cruz, who join the police department to help people, to provide services. And some of the practices that are now going on, some which you mentioned just now, are not why they became police officers, and they have some concerns. However, the police department is a quasi-military operation, So you have internal concerns, grumblings, and the practices that are now taking place. There are some police officers who are not in favor of that, but they have to take the orders and they have to then do what they're told to do. On the other hand, a case like this brings into focus the practices and the management of the police department, and perhaps people in New York City, and perhaps this is applicable to police departments all across the country, need to take a look at what's going on and whether or not there are arrest quotas and whether that's good policy or not.
Well, here in Austin a few weeks ago, our sheriff said we are a paramilitary organization. They call us civilians. You mentioned quasi-military operation. They're citizens just like us. If we're civilians and they're the military, it means that we're in a military state. And this whole us against them, black ski mask, armored vehicle mentality, the people are getting sick of it. And so it's interesting to note that this is part of a larger shift from being public servants to being these enforcers of not the law, but whatever the bureaucracy seems to want to do at the moment.
Well, I think these are difficult times post 9/11, especially here in New York. We rely on our government. We hear even yesterday about the alert and the targets. I think that we, the citizens, want to believe in our government. We want to trust our government. We want to work with the law enforcement community, including the police. But sometimes there's questions about what's going on. And I think that people should understand that when people raise questions, or even if they dissent, that's healthy for a democracy. And we should not be discouraging that. We should be thankful that people care about the democracy, that they're raising these important questions.
Well, obviously, it's all being used for a big, fat power grab, and much of it has nothing to do with terrorism. But since you bring this up and you're in New York, Mr. Siegel, what has the effect been of Ridge's alert, the orange alert for New York and D.C. and parts of New Jersey, saying that specific threats, and they've got one of the tunnels, New York's Holland Tunnel, has been shut down, and what do the streets look like right now in New York?
Well, I think it's a normal day, although there's, I think, increased anxiety. You hear these reports. Many of us remember 9/11, and that will be in our memories for the rest of our lives. So when you hear these alerts, there is an increased anxiety. On the other hand, I believe, you have to continue to live and not let the threat of terrorism prevent you from exercising your freedoms, because then the terrorists win anyway. So this is not a good situation when you hear these alerts, and it does create some anxiety and concern. On the other hand, we have to go on, and that's what Americans will do. We'll continue to do what we have to do and fight for our freedom.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thank you for coming on, Mr. Siegel. Is there any way to support Officer De La Cruz?
Well, I think that, letters for him, people have been sending letters. I give it to him. That's very helpful, and I think that those words and prayers are very important to him, and we'll be back in court on Thursday, and then we'll wait to see, and we're hoping that this judge will recommend no additional punishment, because, as I said from the beginning of the interview, the 30 days that he's already been suspended without pay is more than adequate. There should be no more punishment.
Well, I think the officers that did this setup should be punished.
Well, right now we're focusing on making sure there's no more punishment for De La Cruz, and I think that's our goal with regard to this issue. But it does raise some very fascinating issues, some of that you've touched upon, some that we haven't had time to discuss yet. And I think that people all across this country should be thinking about what's the appropriate role for police officers, and especially with regard to the unfortunate and with regard to homelessness in America. It's still here. We should have solved this problem years ago, and we need a national commitment to address why people are out on the streets and what the problem is and how do we remedy that.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Take care. I mean, clearly, I'd say about half the homeless are complete drug addicts and want to be homeless and want to be out there, but some of them aren't. And what we let the government do to these people could end up happening to us. All right, we'll get into the big national and international issues. Your calls first. When we get back, more on the latest terror alerts. Stay with us.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Berkey water filters are the ultimate filters used worldwide for normal or hostile filtration environments to provide the most delicious, sparkling, clean water possible. The Berkey Light self-sterilizing filter elements remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, and they reduce lead, mercury, aluminum, nitrate, sulfur, odors, foul taste, and much, much more. Yet they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. The Berkey Light has ridges to deflect water if the upper chamber is overfilled, and it can be used anywhere on a flat surface. That's because it has an elevated base. The entire system joins together to make the Berkey Light convenient to transport even while it's filtering water. Its rechargeable bright white LED lamps allow for optimum use at night or during emergency conditions. Get the Berkey Light, the ultimate filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Have you ever been told that communism has collapsed and no longer a threat to our national sovereignty? If so, why are communists overthrowing African and South and Central American governments to install a communist regime? If so, why has Cuba and China agreed with other communist countries to surround the United States in preparation for an attack to end capitalism? We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your order for a free subscription to Newswatch Magazine.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat symptoms. BioSolutions has over 450 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. It comes with a 30-day return policy and a one-year limited warranty. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free, 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625. Call today.
All of this is so obvious, so transparent. Terror alerts. Oh, we've got to have a domestic CIA, a new super agency. Oh, we've got to double the funding again, but this won't stop the attacks. We've got to take more of your liberties. We might have to suspend the election. Oh, we need to have troops on the street. We're all being programmed for this, my friends. Eric in Texas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex, I have 4 points to bring up. Do you want to hear them all and respond to them, or do you want to... respond in turn.
Go ahead. Just
okay, first, what is your opinion of the United States granting titles of nobility, which is a clear violation of the Constitution?
Well, I know that you know, the UN calls people their excellency, and...
Well, you mentioned drug czar earlier. Most people don't know what a czar is.
It means a king.
An autocratic ruler, or a king who answers to no one, right?
That's right. And so, but we have people, Bush Sr., Colin Powell, all these people, getting knighted by the Queen of England.
Well, that's legal if they get if it's authorized by Congress.
Well, Congress can say anything's legal. It's still unconstitutional.
No, it's in the Constitution. It says that they can't accept it unless the Congress agrees. It says, except of any present emulation of any kind from any king or foreign state without the consent of Congress. So they can accept that.
Yeah, but Congress doesn't even rubber stamp it. They just do it.
Right. The consent of Congress, it would be constitutional.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
But, you know, Tsar is the Russian equivalent of Caesar, which is similar to... Okay, my second point I had was I keep hearing about this federal sales tax, and most sales taxes are unconstitutional, as would be a federal sales tax.
Okay.
That's quoted in Article 1, Section 9, Clause 5. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to read the Constitution. Third of all, did you know that a cashless society is unconstitutional, as is the money we use right now?
Well, certainly. It's to be, you know, not these debtors' notes, a note on a debt that we promised to pay,
right.
but gold or silver. And now they've gotten us into the paper. Now they're going to get rid of the paper. And going back to the new national sales tax, they're going to have that running alongside the income tax. And they've got a lot of so-called conservative groups out promoting it. And the big problem is it will bring federal control into every business, every shop, every website.
Anything that sells anything, right.
Total control. And it's going to take the national ID card because they're going to say, oh, well, we can't charge the poor people sales tax. But to make sure there's no fraud,
well,
you've got to swipe your card to show us what graduated sales tax bracket you're in. Okay,
right.
Thanks for the call, sir. Let's go ahead and talk to Kevin in Boston. Kevin, go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Yes.
Thank you for taking my call.
Good to talk to you. Go ahead.
I had a couple of quick things that I was hoping to get your spin or take on or reaction to. Cloak and Dagger, which is Sherm Skolnick, Lenny Bloom, and this was their article was picked up by Henry Makow and by Rentz, is reporting regarding the Brownsville, Texas, Matamoros region murders back in 1984, that Bush was a suspect and a member of the cult related to those satanic ritual murders, that the one that was convicted that survived, that was convicted of those murders, a Satanist named Lucas, was on death row and was the only one that Bush decided to issue a pardon to. And I was wondering if, you know, being from Texas, whether you had some more information or memories of when those murders happened.
I was aware of that, and it was big news here. They dug up, I think it was like over a dozen bodies, and they found later a bunch of other, they're finding bodies all the time,
mm-hmm.
And they would torture people to death, and it was a satanic cult down on the Texas border in Matamoros by Boquillas, and I've been down there, and It's incredible, and really did go on.
According to the article, though, they're saying that Mr. W., the resident of the White House, his teeth marks were found in one of the victims. He was a member of the cult. He went missing for 3 days. When a reporter tried to confront him with this stuff, he said, I won't stoop to discussing that, and we've got people across the country without health care, broken education system, taxes that are way too high, and you want to talk about something that may or may have not happened 16 years ago. I'm sorry, I find that offensive. He didn't deny it. He did, you know.
No, I've seen the report, and Bush is a member of Skull and Bones, where they do simulated murders. He's a member of Bohemian Grove, where they do simulated murders. This is admitted. And I don't know. I know the Bushes are involved in narcotics trafficking. I know the family's involved with the Mexican Mafia, and I know the Mexican Mafia sacrificed, cut people's hearts out en masse down there on the border, and it's a true story. I don't know if Bush is involved. What do you think?
I think he may be, based on the film that you showed of what they do with...
Stay there, stay there.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
So what's in your shampoo, bath soap, and dish soap? Chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodiums, formaldehydes, etc.? Read the labels. Inhaling exposure can lead to coughing, wheezing, shortness of breath, headache, and nausea. Also may be irritating to the skin and mucous membranes and cause you to seek medical help. Perfumes, also known as fragrance on a label, can indicate the presence of thousands of separate ingredients. Now, just by one example, here's what's in my Calben Pure Soap Shampoo. It's all natural, earth-friendly, it contains extra virgin cocoa butter oils and vegetable protein oils. No harsh chemicals, no animal tallow or testing. So what are you waiting for? Call now, 1-800-340-7091, and find out how a family of four can save over $1,000 per year on all their cleaning products with Calben Pure Soaps. Call Calben toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 800-340-7091, or visit calbenpuresoap.com.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
My family's breathing easier, and now you can too. Hey folks, Michael Trudeau here to tell you about the Biozone Air Purifier. The Biozone Air Purifier is not a filter system. It works at the molecular level, binding the small bits of dust, allergens, and other particles in your air into clumps that are too heavy to float. They fall harmlessly to the floor to be literally swept away. Nothing escapes. The Biozone Air Purifier also kills virus and bacteria germs and totally removes odors. Out on the farm, we have several cats and two big dogs, so pet odors can be a concern. But like the odors from anything else, simply gone. Smoke? My wife and I don't, but several of our friends do. Our Biozone air purifier clears out that smoke literally within minutes. I use it myself, and I'm telling you, your Biozone air purifier will improve the air in your home. It even comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee and free shipping. Call toll-free 888-88-MY-AIR today. That's 1-888-88-MY-AIR. Or visit www.purifymyair.com. That's purifymyair.com. Order yours today, and you'll get a bathroom ionizer of $40 value free. Get your Biozone air purifier today, and you'll be breathing easier too.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Yes, back in the late 1980s, there were discoveries of satanic Mexican drug dealer cults. I mean, people that were bringing in thousands of kilos of cocaine in southern New Mexico, in the over the Mexican border, in South Texas. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of women have come up missing out of some of the cities on the southern border, El Paso. Every year or so, they dig up a bunch of new dead bodies in the sand with their hearts and guts cut out. And then it's usually a very small news article. Most Americans aren't even aware of this. You'd think they'd make a couple made-for-TV movies about it. I think I heard they were, though, about a year ago. I heard some rumblings of that. But I've heard this, and I've read about Bush pardoning one of the people and from the death penalty, and then I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I mean, look, I know that anybody that's doing satanic rituals at Skull and Bones or Bohemian Grove should be investigated, period. But again, this is so bizarre, so crazy. I mean, how do you even... I have trouble getting my mind around it. Kevin in Boston, go ahead and finish up your comments.
Well, you know, General Manuel Noriega was a participant, we know, with Carlos Slater's drug trafficking. And they made a big thing when they took him out, when the soldiers went in and took him out, on how they found all sorts of satanic ritual stuff in his residence. Well, why do we think...
I remember that, yeah.
And also, Mr. Kerry is no different. He's a Skull and Bones member, and they're reporting some serious indiscretions on his part that are shocking, unbelievable. But when you realize that they're part of satanic abuse in Skull and Bones, he was allegedly, according to Skolnick and Bloom, involved in pedophilia snuff films, which are, I don't mean to shock people, but it's where after the abuse, they kill the people and they film this. It's part of their, offering to Satan. Oh, it's shocking. I don't know whether to believe it or not, but this is out there.
Well, we know that it goes on, and we know that Noriega, they did find a bunch of weird satanic stuff, and we know that. Why are they all obsessed with this? I mean, we know they're into the occult. The question is, how far does it go? And we know that on the southern border, there are all these bizarre mass graves that have been found from satanic rituals.
Well, I believe that, being a Christian, I believe Satan's real. They're in the seats of power. Perhaps they have been rewarded for this, filth and immoral behavior. The other point I want to get your take on before leaving is Howard Dean's been on TV, local TV around here. I don't know if he's getting any major coverage, stating his feeling that these terror attacks are nothing but politics, which we all know, but for somebody in the mainstream, they get some press coverage where we're somewhat censored. And I just
A lot of people. I mean, there's been FBI and CIA folks that have gone public and said, we were ordered to issue fake terror alerts for political favor, for political support. We have had the White House press secretary, before he left, Ari Fleischer, got up and admitted it, which was bizarre. So we know they're doing this. And then people say, well, then how do you know when a real attack's coming? Well, when the globalists decide to carry one out, that's how. Thanks for the call, Kevin.
Thank you.
Jackie in Colorado. Jackie, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I decided to put it in one sentence. Make it easy. Why pilots shouldn't have pistols or, firearms. If pilots had a pocket pistol, they might be able to knock out an autopilot if they accidentally, for some strange reason, cut in. But I guess they would have to do, knock it. They'd have to know where to aim and have the right load in their, pistol to knock it out before the G-force knocked them out. You say that the way they did it is turn the... make the airplane do some weird thing to knock out all the people.
Okay, I'm trying to understand what you're saying, sir. I really...
Okay. You want me to do it one sentence at a time?
Well, yeah. No. I mean, you're saying you don't believe that airline pilots should be armed.
No, that's what I said. That's the reason why the real terrorists don't want them to have guns, because they might be able to knock out the autopilot if they knew where to shoot it.
So you're saying why the government doesn't want to arm the pilots,
right,
is because they could damage the plane when it's under remote control.
They can knock out the autopilot and then regain control, right.
Oh, no, that's a good point. I understand what you're saying now. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had to get this theory out before the secret police come around and get me. Okay?
Well, they don't have that many secret police yet. They've got to promote it and get us to accept it and set up the domestic CIA and get us all trained to accept it. And that's on down the line, my friend, but thanks for the call. That's what we're trying to stop, sir. Let me tell you the real reason they don't want to arm the pilots. Why does George Bush, why did he promise a veto if Congress passed a law allowing the arming of the pilots? And you go, wait a minute, they did pass a law saying you can arm the pilots. Well, no, they really didn't do that. What they did was, is Bush came out and said, I'm against arming any of them, I'll veto it. And there was a giant conservative grassroots reaction. And so the White House said, okay, we'll have a pilot program, no pun intended, to train strenuously 2% of the pilots. And then we will study that and in a couple years look at it and decide what we're going to do. And of the 2%, very few of those ever got armed because there were so many hoops you had to jump through. Multi-month course with the FBI and become an air marshal, basically a deputy air marshal, and go through all this. These are men and women, mainly men, who were most of them fighter pilots or cargo pilots for years, for decades, before they get behind the cockpit of a 747 or whatever the case may be. With hundreds of switches and dials, and they could throw the stick and, you know, have so many G-forces they could break people's necks. They could fly the plane into a building. But, oh, we cannot trust a pilot to be armed. And they said, oh, well, what about accidents? Well, they were going to put instant access pistol safes in the cockpits. This is what the pilots wanted to do, the pilots' union. And so in about 2 seconds, they could get to that firearm. Somebody starts trying to ram down the door. They just get the gun and shoot them. And you say, well, what about guns? Guns would depressurize. Well, why do the air marshals have guns? They have a special type of safety slug that dissipates its energies on impact, so it will not shoot through the aircraft. And even if you did shoot through the aircraft, folks, you don't instantly lose pressure. It's a slow process. You could, you know, open up with a machine gun in a plane, and it would slowly lose pressure. So they had all these lies and all these reasons, but the real reason was they don't want to send the message that arming yourself is good, that citizens, individuals, having guns is the answer to the threat of terrorism. They want to say, oh, no, it's men in black uniforms, in black ski masks, with submachine guns and armored vehicles. That's the answer to terrorism. Cameras on the street corners. That's the answer to terrorism. And then I said, you watch. Then there's going to be attacks on buses and railways and then the roads and, oh, they're going to, or threats to them. And then, oh, now we're going to have troops at the bridges and the roads and the buses and the trains. And now that's happening. The answer is don't arm the train conductor. The answer is don't let the people have the Second Amendment again so no criminal would dare go on a train. The answer is we're going to disarm you, and then the people who are really the terrorists are going to run your lives for you. And so that's what's happening. That's why they don't want to arm the pilots. And notice now we had the, quote, compromise. Ooh, let's allow 2% if they elect to be armed. It's ridiculous. By the way, up until a month before 9/11, WorldNet Daily actually had this report. Cargo planes, mail-carrying planes, by law, had to have a gun. I wasn't aware of that till I learned that, but strangely enough, the law wasn't followed and most didn't have guns. So why don't we have guns in the cockpit? It's ridiculous. There need to be guns in the cockpit. But again, then if they ever want to pull the remote control hijacking again, where the globalists put the nerve gas in the plane, kill everybody on board, then fly it into the buildings, put out a few fake cell phone conversations, which, by the way, your cell phones don't work on board the planes, but magically they did that day, and magically passports fell out of the sky, unburned, and everything else was destroyed and fell into the government's hands of the hijackers. They can't have their official story in the future of, well, how did this happen again if they had guns? But good points, Jackie. Let's talk to Randy in Florida. You're on the air. Go ahead.
And now Bush wants to create a new intelligence director. You know, I mean, that's absurd. Enough already. We already got 15 agencies and hundreds of millions of dollars, and we can't get it right, and now they want to create another one?
Well, that's right. You've got your math correct. There are 15 intelligence security agencies that we know of, and now we're going to have not just the CIA getting domestic powers, but a mega office headed by a director of CIA, director of Central Intelligence, director of CIA, who is going to have his funding outside Congress, a direct funding mechanism, so shadow government out in the open, running our lives, and they're recruiting the truck drivers, the cable people, the exterminators, to fight terrorism and crime. And
Alex, they told us after 9/11 that they needed to create the Department of Homeland Security with Tom Ridge to do this very thing. You know, and now they're coming back and saying we need more government. We still can't get it right. We need more government.
Did you watch Chairman Keane? He said, and this isn't going to keep us safe. It's more, and the attacks are just going to get worse, though.
Kerry and Bush are both behind, both backing this, just like they do with civil unions and the assault weapons bans and open borders and free trade, on and on ad nauseum.
You tell them. Go. Tell them.
You know, I mean, Congress just needs to say, no, we don't need enough of it. We need to start closing down agencies and repealing laws. We don't need more of them, and we need less.
I heartily agree with you, my dear.
So, you know, well, that's all I got to say with my rant, you know. It's just ridiculous. You know, the only solution that these people have is more and more government. You know, that's the only response they can come up with. You know, well, we got enough government now, we can't get it right, but let's add another
aggressive
one.
Police state, classical Soviet/Nazi-style government. Absolutely. Thanks for the call. Give us your liberties, giant government. I totally agree with you, Randy. By the way, if you read the 9/11 Whitewash Commission, it's online. Please don't waste your money buying a copy. Can't believe they're making money off this with a private publisher. It's just so sick. The people intimately, some of them involved in 9/11, others intimately involved in covering it up, and then they're going to sell it. But they've got it online. But if you go read the report, it blames Congress. The FBI made a mistake. The CIA dropped the ball, but it's okay. Let's double their funding. They doubled it in 2002 and 2001. Now they want to double the funding again with a new giant agency. And in the report, though, the strongest criticism isn't for Clinton or Bush. They're absolved. They did nothing. They're wonderful. They're good. No, it's all Congress's fault because they didn't see the threat and appropriate money beforehand. So, see, Congress is being told, you're bad, you've got to capitulate and advocate the total takeover of Congress. See, Congress gives away its trade authority, gives away its border authority, gives away its funding for intelligence, its funding for the military. Bush doesn't even have to get Congress to declare war anymore. It's called dictatorship, folks. It's textbook. It's happening right in front of us. And so the report spanks the Congress and says they better follow our recommendations. And Kerry goes, absolutely. And Bush goes, absolutely. I agree. And the media goes, this is a shocking development. We've never seen gridlock disappear like this. We're about to have a domestic CIA that's going to fight terror and crime. And why? We're going to have CIA offices in all major cities over the police department, and we're going to move the police department into the National Guard Armory. Oh, already happening covertly. And we're going to merge it all, and boy, this is going to be great. That way they can have all their ducks in a row. That way they can carry out all their drug dealing and their terrorism and their everything else they do. Absolutely, caller. We're going to go to break. We'll come back and into some more news. We'll go to Eric in Tennessee and others. Toll-free number to join us on air. You disagree with me, if you agree with me, if you've got some pertinent issue, 1-800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. The last minute or two here before we break, though, I sure hope all of you will go visit prisonplanet.tv. And I want to thank those that have signed up with PrisonPlanet.tv. I have four websites, and the bandwidth is pretty expensive, and we still offer a lot of video and audio and text reports and, you know, stuff for free, but it's a catch-22. I mean, either we start charging for something, or I can't do it. I can't afford it. So you get exclusive, privileged, VIP, whatever you want to call it, access to my sometimes twice-a-week video reports, hour-long. Every week, an hour report. All my films, other great films we've been authorized to post. My book, Paul Watson's book. Just the best radio interviews we do. It's all posted at prisonplanet.tv. And I want to encourage everybody to go sign up at prisonplanet.tv today to not procrastinate, to not wait, to take action. Also, I have, again, made 10 films, America Destroyed by Design, America Wake Up or Waco, Police State 2000, Police State 2 The Takeover, Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports Exposed, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, 9-11 The Road to Tyranny, Masters of Terror, Matrix of Evil, Police State 3 Total Enslavement. These are all over 2 hours long, incredible videos that will wake people up in a big way. So again, I ask you to get the films, to make copies of my videos, to put them on Access TV, to get them out to people. We exposed this whole New World Order takeover, the militarized takeover, and how they would use terrorism, the threat of terrorism to do it. I figured this out back in 98, folks. It's not hard to figure out. The game plan's out in the open. Get the videos. Get them out to people. 1-888-253-3139. Again, that's 888-253-3139. Or Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to order via the Safe Secure shopping cart. Please don't wait. Take action. 888-253-3139. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Alex Jones here, announcing the release of my new film, Police State 3 Total Enslavement. Police State 3 details the architecture, goals, and operations of the New World Order.
There is a chance to use this disaster for the New World Order.
A New World Order can emerge.
The film documents dozens of confirmed cases of government-sponsored terrorism worldwide. We rip the Sinister Patriot Act legislation 1 and 2 apart, piece by piece, and reveal the arrogance of what Ashcroft has to say about your liberty.
You will lose your liberty.
Homeland Security, executive orders, forced vaccinations, the new prison economy, the Total Information Society, the Pan-American Union, federal gun grabs, government-run white slavery rings, and much, much more. If you want to understand what the New World Order really is, then my new 2.5-hour video, Police State 3, is for you. Visit Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to order, or call toll free 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Order today and spread the word.
The Berkey Light is your premier source for purified water. It's portable and requires no water pressure, so you can enjoy healthy drinking water, whether it's during normal times or hostile environments like a local or national emergency. That's because it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is unique because it removes pathogenic bacteria, cyst parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul taste and odors like the rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it extracts nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals that your body needs. The Berkey Light's rechargeable LED lighting system is so bright it can be used as a reading light. Get the Berkey Light for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Herbal Healer Academy is the global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Welcome back, my friends. Here's an article out of the Village Voice. Terror Against the Press, the curious saga of the Boston FBI's unconfirmed reports of a right-wing threat to the media. It looks like the FBI's Boston field office faked a threat of domestic terrorism just before the start of the Democratic National Convention by leaking unconfirmed reports of white supremacist groups readying an attack against media vehicles in Boston. Fox News, for one, reportedly was wildly trying to disguise its trucks by covering up its logos. And we told you that was fake, folks. It's a long article and they detail that, but I mean, I've never seen a case where they don't put out a fake alert. I mean, consciously just make it up. But see, that stole all the headlines, turned it into a psychological training event to be a slave. Oh, look, being a slave's good. Keeps you safe. The effects of this probably was to make the press even more suspicious of anti-war demonstrators than it already is. To even view them as possible terrorists, and if not actual terrorists, then a crowd within which terrorists could operate. Meanwhile, they put protesters inside a cage, inside a cage, again, sending you that message. All of this is taking place in an atmosphere of fear and tension, whipped up by the Bush administration with its reports of Al-Qaeda sleeping cells, preparing to strike against America in the midst of the presidential campaign. And it says the white supremacists on the far right have never shown any great interest in the war on terror, and they usually try to use the press, not attack it. Mark Potok, editor of the Southern Poverty Law Center's intelligence report, which tracks the far right, told Glenn Wilson of the serious-minded Southerner Daily News blog, "We have had no indication whatsoever, not an inkling, that there was any kind of violent action planned by this, by the radical right in Boston. We followed these groups quite closely." And then it gets into the report. Seen and reported, authorities fear that some protesters are preparing to target the media and that the Boston Joint Terrorism Task Force is investigating. ABC News also said basically the same thing. So this is how they do it, folks, preemptively. Oh, you can't protest now. You can't get involved now because we got a credible threat that somebody might do something wrong. And so because there's a boogeyman floating around out there, you don't have any freedoms. Oh, the government wouldn't want to do that. There's a lot of evidence that these bombings taking place in Baghdad are being engaged in by the coalition, kangaroo government. And they really have the motive. Destabilization allows the globalists to stay there longer, to make more money off no-bid contracts, to scare different minority groups into supporting the coalition provisional authority or whatever new name it's got this week. But again, I don't know who's carrying out these blasts, and they're horrible, and they're real blasts to those that are dead and dying. Bomb blasts rock Iraqi churches. Bomb blasts have gone off near four churches in the Iraqi capital and one in the northern city of Mosul, police say. At least 11 people are reported dead, and they blew up Catholic churches, Protestant churches, Orthodox churches. It's just horrible. And don't worry, though. Never fear. The government's putting up cameras all over the place to track and trace the public. See, that equals safety. That equals liberation, as if cameras are going to stop any of this. The total surveillance society. We've got to destroy freedom to protect it. All right, the third hour is coming up. We'll go to Eric and Mark and Tim and Raymond and Ann and everybody else that's patiently holding. And I really do hope that all of you will visit Infowars.com and check out the books and videos and materials because they're such a vital part of the fight against the New World Order. We'll be right back. Terror.